So go, Mommy Dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Ozzy.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time. Bye. Welcome, welcome. Oh, guys, it's so good to be back. So good to be here.
It really is. I've been laughing the whole time. I'm so excited.
Yeah, she is so excited. She is so excited. The other week, was it last week? Last week, y'all didn't see me because my friend Lisa was here.
Yes.
She did so amazing. Yes, she did so amazing to the point that I ended up being hurt because of how amazing she did. Like, y'all didn't miss me. No one felt.
We did miss you. You weren't there for the live chats. Exactly. We didn't see in the live chat that there
was no one like, said,
where's Paul? And we did explain, guys, in the beginning that, you know, she's a busy lady. She had an event to attend, you know?
Yeah. I had an event.
Even now, she comes from the books.
The books.
I'm so proud of you. Your ability to juggle the two is insane. I could not do it. Barely.
We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that in another time, in another season.
Barely.
In another time, a season. Okay, I think this is a great opportunity to give you a life update.
Life update. Sure. Let's see.
Yes,
I hope you didn't hear that question.
Yeah.
It's a good question to ask. I never thought I'd say this. I never ever thought I'd say this, but it's very complicated.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
What's complicated about it?
Good question. I'll answer that right now. So the last time we sat on the couch and we were talking about our love lives, it was very apparent that I was single, right?
Yes.
And you guys are going to see some Cape Town vlogs. So I'm going to have explaining.
Yeah. Just explain now because they'll come out same time.
I might as well. So I think I had a conversation with my mom because my mom really loves this person, right? And it made me realize that, one, the pressure I felt to end that relationship was an external pressure. It wasn't an internal one because somebody publicized my relationship before I could, right? On spreading humors. So the moment that... I love the person who's making facial reactions at the back. And so by virtue of it being publicized before I was ready for it to be, I was then rushed into decision-making about the relationship. We were navigating just fine until that happened, right? But there are a lot of hurdles that we are, you know, trying to get over before we pursue a relationship again. But
So are you working towards like pursuing a relationship again, or are you in a season of whatever happens, happens?
I'm realizing, one, that I'm 22, praise God.
Amen.
Right? That it's really now survival of the fittest. Do you know what I'm saying? May the best man win.
Deep.
I'm degreed, ain't got no kids, I'm a lame girl, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've got a brain and
Saying, so let them compete.
The expensive.
The prize is yours.
May the best man win.
Real.
You know what I'm saying?
Real.
Hunger Games.
Real.
Olympics.
Real.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it is right now. So I'm not, I'm genuinely no longer putting my eggs all in one basket.
Real.
The one who applies the most pressure.
The one who's gonna win. No, but that's fair. I think because of like how successful we are, not to brag, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but because of like how successful we are, you cannot really compare us with people in our age group.
Yeah.
So we compare ourselves in people in a different age group, like above 25.
Yeah.
You know, and they're taking certain steps in their lives, which they should at that age. And we feel like pressured to be ready to make those decisions.
Yeah.
Ready to go into marriage, ready to go into committed, full on relationships. Yeah. Because, you know, it's like, oh, everything is moving in my life. Why is that department not moving? Yeah. Not realizing you just arrived. You literally just arrived.
Yeah, also, I think it's
your frontal lobe is not developed.
It's a very dangerous space to be when you haven't established your identity, yet you are entering a relationship.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? You don't know where you want to see yourself outside of that relationship in the next few years. Mm. Your frontal lobe is not fully developed.
This
so
frontal lobe it's conversation.
It's real. Like, literally, like, the way you see yourself and how you see life now and where you want to see life, where you want life to be now is not where you will see and what you want in the next 3 to 4
absolutely,
years.
Absolutely, I think so too. And I also, the conversations that I've had with God recently, right? He made it very clear or very obvious to me that my dream of becoming a mother and wife very quickly turned into an idol.
you know what's crazy?
What?
God revealed that to me about you. that's the crazy thing. Like,
crazy.
I literally wanted to go into fast. Let me tell you now. Okay. I was planning on going into fasting for you.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, she really wants this thing. But the minute I knew she wants it, she's willing to sacrifice herself for it.
Yeah.
Then it's becoming an idol.
Yeah. So, man, it's been a really... It shook me because it's the truth. And it was a truth that I don't think I was ready for, but a truth that was absolutely necessary.
Mm.
That God said, in this season, decenter that thing because it's taking my place.
Oh.
That's why I'm saying I'm not in the love life avenue. I'm no longer focusing on that right now. Again, may the best man win. I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. My focus now is my purpose.
Mm. And my purpose,
unfortunately, sometimes your purpose and your dreams may not align. The same thing.
They don't align.
You know what I'm saying? May not even be mutually inclusive.
Ish.
You know, because I know some people who dreamt of being lawyers and being entertainers, and God said, "Hold the mic and stand by the pulpit." You know, so my dream, I may have to set my dream aside in order to fulfill my purpose. It's heartbreaking, absolutely. But
what is this dream that you're setting aside?
The wife and mother.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I know that's a dream worth setting aside for God's calling.
Amen. Say man.
No, but it's difficult. It is incredibly difficult.
Because it's everybody has to carry their own cross, and that's my cross to carry. Everybody has their own sacrifice to make, and that's my sacrifice to make in this season. That I have to let go of it for now. Or possibly, you know, for a very long time.
Real.
That's my life update.
I'm so glad. I'm so proud of your growth and everything. I'm really glad, like, God revealed all that to you.
Yeah.
Mostly because
He revealed it to you.
I was not ready to fast. So now I know it's not like I'm fasting. It's not like I'm fasting better. Yeah. But I'm so glad that He revealed that to you.
Yeah.
And it's just like, age, man, it's not an easy thing to set as I always say. I feel like there's a reason, because I was having like a conversation with my friends the other day, and I was like, oh my God, I have such long seasons of singleness, and then my relationships are very short lived. So I'll be single like 6 months, a year, and then I'll get into a relationship, it dies after 2 months, and I was like trying to understand, like, am I the problem? But then every time the relationships ended, it wasn't because of anything I lacked or I did. And I'm starting to realize that, but I noticed since the ending of my previous relationship that I literally thrive in singleness. Like, there's something about Mpo that is single that thrives. Like, firstly, like, let's start with the superficial stuff. I look my best when I'm single. I feel my best. I do the most for myself. I work harder.
Yeah.
I have more creative ideas. I'm more alive.
That much is true. That creative ideas when Mpo would blow my phone. I'm in the bathroom, honey.
And I'm like, Kaya, when are you finishing in the bathroom?
She will blow the phone. And I'm like, just send a voice note. If it's that urgent, send a voice note. I'll listen to it. She's like, no.
This is too good. Too good. You know?
So yeah, you definitely are more creative.
Yeah, so there's just something. And I'm just like, maybe I'm in that season of like growing and becoming the woman that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And sadly, because of the person I am and my character, I cannot be in a relationship to allow that to happen. Because like, I'm very like... When I'm in a relationship, my focus is my partner and growing them and making them better. Like, every decision I make is to better their lives.
Yeah, that's how women are.
And I'm just like, maybe at this point, I need to better my life first before I can start thinking like that for someone else. Because the plans God has for me are greater than just being someone's wife and someone's mother, you know? So, yeah. So, yeah, that's like the realization I made. In terms of life updates, as I said, I'm more creative. Do you write, man? I'm Gucci.
Yeah.
I am so good. Like, I was stressed last week. I was so stressed last week. I was not in, I wouldn't say a dark place, but I was stressed. But funny enough is I don't know what was causing my stress. I still don't know what's causing my stress. So I realized that my body physically reacts when my mental is not... on par, my body decides to physically react, because I don't recognize what causes me stressed. Like, I don't realize I'm stressed because I'm always working, yeah. working. So my body ends up reacting. It's either I have hives, I swell, I just go through the most physically. Mm-hmm. And I was going through that physically and I realized that actually something is stressing me out. Mm-hmm. I still don't know what it is that is stressing me out, but I prayed about it. Okay. And I went into a prayer in tongues and I knew that the Holy Spirit was praying about that thing that I don't even know, but the Holy Spirit is praying about it and is praying for me. And when
that's
I came
Romans 8:28
like when I came out of that prayer, I was not stressed anymore. I don't know what it is, but it's not stressing me anymore.
That's beautiful.
So that's where I'm at. I'm Gucci.
I feel like we sound so alive today. We're very much alive, which
we
is
are alive. We are alive.
I think that's it for a life update session. I'm looking at it.
Yeah. That's it for life updates. But you learned a lot in the beginning. Yeah. So that's good. Kaya actually prepared today's topics.
Did I? Yes, I did. At like 2 a.m.
She did send them in the AMs.
I'm having trouble sleeping.
She sent them in the AMs, Violin. Let me check the time. Yeah, at 1:13 in the morning.
I'm having a very difficult time sleeping. I think maybe it's hormonal. I do think it's hormonal.
Oh, fair.
I'm good mentally, I think.
Our chat is our girl chat. Our unwritten rules.
Our personal
rule book. So things that are rules for us that may not be rules for you. Yeah. You know,
they
in
range
terms of
from foolish to serious. So
yes.
You'll be able, you'd compartmentalize.
You will decide. You will decide whether this is a serious issue or if it's foolish.
Do you understand? Yeah. You seem like you have more than me.
I don't. I literally have like 2, 4, 5.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 5 hours.
And they're very simple. I don't have like serious rules. Okay. I have very simple rules. Like the first one was like, so my ex used to squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom. And I used to just go in from the center, right?
Okay.
And then because he used to do it from the bottom, I started doing it from the bottom to accommodate him. But now it's something that I don't understand why you would squeeze it from the center. Like, do it from the bottom.
My question is, why does it matter?
I don't know. It does. Like it just, like, why?
It's the same for me. Like, the toothpaste chat is the same chat as the toilet paper one.
Okay,
what should the toilet paper face? It doesn't matter.
As long as you're using it.
Get it out anyway.
Okay, I don't care where the toilet paper faces, to be honest. Maybe I'll care when I have, like, my own space.
Okay, maybe squeezing from the bottom makes sense because you won't have to roll it up at some point.
Yeah, like,
but also, let us work on financial stability enough to not be rolling up toilet paper and toothpaste. Praise God. As soon as you find yourself rolling up the toothpaste,
it's not even financial stability. Sometimes you just forget to restock. Like, you buy stock once every 6 months. You know, you buy like your 5 for
rolling
the year.
Rolling up toothpaste is so ghetto. Right? It's actually so ratatata. Now I think of.
So that's your rule.
Rolling up
don't roll
up. Is a ratatata. Even cutting things, like if your moisturizer is finished and you've now cut through the
Kaya, please, my sister, do not shame us.
I never reached
people.
That stage in my life. I beg.
But I promise you, it doesn't come from scarcity all the time. Sometimes it just comes.
Just go buy. I think as soon as you see what
you know what
to,
happens.
You know when you do that method,
like
you do
life
this
gets
and then you
busy,
squeeze.
Bruh.
As soon as you see you have to do that, go get a new.
Bruh, life gets busy. You'll say, "Oh, today I must go and get." And you see, before checker 60-60, you see now you feel it. You just 60-60 it. Before checker 60-60, you needed to go to the store, and now you're just like, "Oh my God, I'll do it today." And then life just gets busy, and then you just find yourself. I'm gonna go to here ashy. I cut it. Okay, I haven't cut it since getting to varsity.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've actually ever cut it, but okay. Like I understand people who would, because my things literally be on the last show. Like I literally soap. My soap will get
you. No, also that is such an ick, guys. If you go to a nigga's apartment and you see in his shower he's got this small soap. I'm going home.
You're just like, this is not my portion.
This is not my portion.
This is not my portion. No, but like, literally, have like a bar.
And where's it? Sunlight. Whoa, wow.
Now you're just a hater because sunlight does what it needs to do.
Nah. Sunlight on your body.
I've always supposed to go.
Sunlight is clothes, the, washing clothes.
Bruh, Sunlight is the original soap. People didn't have cancer from the sun before Sunlight.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
I tell you, you're people were healthy. Eczema, all those things. It's from these perfumed soaps. This perfumed nonsense.
But Sunlight also has its perfume.
It's not perfume. It's the original scent of soap.
This is from somebody who's from where? Where are you from again? Limpopo. It makes sense.
But I was a city girl, born and bred. But still, I'll advocate for Sunlight still. I don't use it, but I'll advocate for people who
rubbish.
Do.
Rubbish. It's my first one. I closed the thing now. Okay. I think that making noise in the morning is a character flaw.
I will.
Yes.
Okay.
Mornings are supposed to be slow, silent, easy. Allow me to defrost. Let me take my time.
Mara, when now you when take you 3 hours
rise
to defrost.
And shine. Excuse me. I'm not ready to be alive. I haven't processed my mortality, bro. Why are you making noise? Why? I hate that. Even people who blast music in the morning.
Okay, bro, I also don't like on, that. I also don't like that. Like, that thing annoys me. Don't play music in the morning. Don't do that. Don't be that person.
Nothing in the morning. Move like a mouse.
Silence.
Eventually, you know, the volume has to gradually increase.
How?
10, 30, 45.
See, the thing is, 80, it
then 100.
Like, Kaya's volume increase takes 4 hours.
Yes.
By the time, and worst part, she doesn't even wake up in the morning. By the time she's defrosted, it's the night. Like, no.
Well, it's maybe late afternoon by the time I've defrosted, okay? But still, noise in the morning. Yay! Good morning.
Good morning. Rise and shine.
Sure, gents, you're living with niggas. And I feel like it's niggas who are loud in the morning. It is niggas.
I think there was a trip that just traumatized you.
Yeah.
It's coming from that trip, this energy. It was a trip.
I will hold my peace.
Oh my God.
Let me just tell you, it's niggas that are loud in the morning, man.
I also feel like, yes, you should start off, like, silently, né? Like, there's no music and stuff. But, like, after an hour of being awake, be defrosted nyana.
Yeah, an hour is good.
Be defrosted nyana.
You wake up, you switch on the kettle. Do you know how loud the kettle is, bro? Anyway, I'm getting frustrated talking about it.
That's a problem.
Character flaw, shush. What do you mean your brain is already turned on as soon as you wake up?
Mine does, depending on like how the day, like how I woke up. So if I woke up and it was like, oh, thought digest messages, my brain automatically is on and then I'm ready. I'm ready for the day.
No matter how I woke up, I'm not a morning person. I tried. I gave it a genuine try.
But it's not your calling. For me, it was like, clean the toilet seat, please.
Ooh,
please clean the toilet seat.
That's a good one.
Don't be that person. Don't be that ghetto person who leaves the toilet seat a mess. Ooh. Do not be that person.
Use the toilet brush for the life of me.
Oh, yes. For the life of me, use the tools in the toilet. There's nothing wrong if I hear you are scrubbing it. Bruh, it's better than me finding, like, even scrubbing.
Yeah.
Please don't be that person. That's very ghetto.
I hate it so much. You're so inconsiderate if you do that.
Yeah.
Because if you live with the woman, you're going to give her a damn UTI, bro, or a yeast infection.
Please clean toilet seats.
And use the toilet brush.
Yes. What's your next one?
Okay, this one is a bit dark, right? But I have a long-standing DNR. DNR stands for do not resuscitate. Guys, if I'm in the ICU, switch the thing off, bro. Like, don't fight for my life. Even I'm not fighting for it, bro. What do you mean? Don't resuscitate me. If I'm in a coma,
how long?
Let me go. If I'm in an accident, don't... You see when they use the... What are they called? Defibrillators. That thing on me, bro. If I'm dead, let me go. Let me go. Let me tell you right now. If I'm dead, I'm happy to be dead. Don't resuscitate me. Do not resuscitate me. Thanks.
No, I disagree. I feel like...
If you love me, you're not going to resuscitate
No,
me.
I would resuscitate you depending on the circumstance.
I'll hate you so bad. Like, wake up... Listen. If I know that I'm on my way to heaven and then I feel cuckoo, cuckoo, I'm back on earth and it's this girl who said they must resuscitate me, our friendship is over.
I'm sorry,
what
girl.
Do you mean?
But listen,
you
let
told
me...
You wanted to be alive.
Let me explain. I would resuscitate you if I knew waking you up would bring you back, you'd come back to normal life. But like, if for instance you are a vegetable, die, you're gone.
I'm coming back to normal life. I don't care, bruv. Do you, no matter the circumstance, no matter the circumstance, do not resuscitate. Even if I'm a millionaire.
It's not a contractual obligation. If I'm resuscitated, don't worry.
I'm gonna put it in my, I'm gonna make a document out of it, and everybody in my life must sign that document, like a will sort of a thing.
Don't speak to my attorney.
Do not resuscitate.
Crazy.
I will hate you if you wake me up.
Thank crazy. You. I was Susan Vusa 555. Maybe that's your testimony.
No, I don't want the testimony that I was dead and now in my life. In fact, that's not a testimony, that's a tragedy.
You are going to the father and then you are brought
back. You brought me back.
To this world.
You hate me.
To this world.
Especially if I died and it wasn't something I did. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a genuine accident. It wasn't no suicide, nothing. Free ticket to heaven you are snatching out of my hand. I'm going to hate you, dude.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's my rule. I should have said that's number one. That's my number one rule.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. The next one I have, this just comes from staying with girls.
Yeah.
In a race. Guys, I don't want to call them disgusting, but very inconsiderate. Okay. You know, staying with hands, oh, very, very inconsiderate. So, how you dispose of your sanitary towel?
Okay. Okay.
I feel like don't just, like, there are people who just, like, take it out of their panties and just throw it in the bin just like that.
Mm-mm.
You don't even wrap it in a tissue, nyana, or put it in the thingy. You just take it and literally, they are in, like, today, I entered the bathroom to go shower, right? And there's like a bin in the bathroom. And I just look, like, you know, my eyes are not going there, but I just looked and I saw period blood on a pad. And I almost died. I don't know who it is.
Do you guys have meetings about these things?
I feel like I should, like, I literally, the way it's been an ick for the whole year, because it's been consistently happening, like panty liners, like it's so bad. I literally, today, I was so triggered, I almost like took a picture and sent it to the group. Then I was like, no, that'll traumatize
people.
Yeah,
that's traumatizing everyone now.
But like, oh my God, why are you doing that?
That's so
like, it's like, did they not so teach you at home how to dispose of a... Why?
Guys, no. There's no excuse for being unhygienic to that level. Because even if they didn't teach you at home, like, you have the internet as a resource, bro.
You know what's crazy? My whole unit, we post-grad students.
So they're old. They're grown.
Like, we're all grown.
There's no excuse.
Oh, Lord.
There's no excuse.
Oh, Lord. Like, oh, my
that
God.
That is so nasty. That reminds me of somebody... Of the time somebody told me that their roommate was pooping in the shower.
Huh?
Swear down, bro.
Oh, my Lord. This is why we wear slippers in the shower, y'all. Because it's scary out there.
That's so nasty, bro. That means when they poop in the shower, they mush it through the drain. Because the drain has, you know, that grid. So you have to mush your poop through the drain.
Why would you do that?
Because to them it's the same system, you know.
Oh my God,
it's the same drainage system.
Oh, that brings me to literally the next thing that I had on my list. I was actually like, okay. Wash the clean your showers, please.
Yes.
Clean the shower floor, clean the shower walls, clean the shower. Oh my God, guys. Oh my God, I lived in the ghetto.
Moving in the shower. Clearing your throat in the sink. You know when people are sick and they go and they clear it in the sink. What you mean? Bro.
Take a tissue.
Take a tissue, throw it in the toilet. In the toilet. Not in the sink. And now when you're washing, let's say the drain is blocked. Now when you're washing your face or you're brushing your teeth, the water comes back up with...
Oh my God.
People is liars. Y'all are liars.
No, guys' rules are a bit strict.
No, that's not strict. People wash their face and brush their teeth in the sink and you want to do that? And it worse if it has blood. You're sick. Now your phlegm has blood. And I'm seeing it come up with the water. Whoa. Whoa. Also, don't clip your toenails.
Just get to clear his throat in the background, by the way.
Some people clip their toenails in the bathtub.
What?
Swear down, bro.
Who?
Swear down, bro. I've seen some things in this last night.
In the tub?
In the tub. Why? Bro. I don't know, because it's the bathroom and they shifted down the drain. But sometimes, toenails can be so tiny that when you run the bar, there was a time, oh God, I ran the bar, then I was just sitting in the bar, and there was a floating toenail coming my way. I wanted to die.
Yo, guys, this life we're living. Oh, that's it for our rules.
I think that's it for our girl chat. That was good, yeah. Can we move into our game? You explain what it is.
So the game that Kaya came up with is basically guess the song. So what will happen is one of us, we both have songs, mm-hmm. and then we're basically gonna say the lyrics. Not sing the lyrics, say the lyrics in mm-hmm. a monotonous tone. Mm-hmm. And then the person has to guess what the song is, and then they get a bonus point if they guess the artist.
Yeah. Then start.
Okay.
You started the girl chat.
So yeah. Start the game. Okay. Game.
My pride, my ego, my needs, and my selfish ways.
My pride, my ego, my needs, and my selfish. I honestly don't know. It's not clicking. It's not clicking. Is it like is it a common song?
Very common. Everybody knows this song.
Is it what genre at least?
R&B.
I don't know who it is. Is it SZA or something?
No, it's Bruno Mars and I Was Your Man. My pride, my ego, my selfish ways.
crazy. That's so crazy.
I'm ahead, even though I haven't answered.
That is so crazy. Okay, now it's your turn. Yes. Let me see. Here we go. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Because I'm happy for Pharrell Williams. Heavy.
I chose an easy song. You see, I gave her easy songs.
She that was an easy song.
She gave me songs we've never seen before. Okay, go.
Hold on. I don't want to lose you now. I'm looking right at the other half of me.
I don't want to lose you now. I'm looking at the other half of me. No. Is it the one? You see, the crazy thing
name
is,
the song.
I don't know songs and artists. Crazy. Oh my God. And I don't want to lose you now. I'm looking right at the other half of me.
Yeah, singing it doesn't matter, my sister.
But I don't know, but I know the song. I don't know the song. That's what matters. At least give me 1 point for knowing the song.
You get a point for naming the song and the artist.
You'll be right here. Right here all along.
No.
Right here all along. Oh. No. It's like in my mirror.
Yeah.
Mirror. I don't even know who sings it. Let me think. Who sings it? I don't know who sings it. It's like in my mirror. Oh. Come on. Give me the artist.
No, that's not allowed.
Okay, I don't know who sings it. Who sings
it? Justin Timberlake.
Crazy. Okay. I have such easy songs. Kai's gonna muff the flow with me. So I put my hands up. They are playing my song. The butterflies fly away. I'm nodding
my hands and the butterflies fly away. I don't know the artist and the name of the song. I don't know.
Yeah. So you don't know. It's
What is it? Party is it Party in the USA? Is it a long title?
Yes, it's a long title.
Party in the USA.
Yes. By who?
By by
yo.
Is it a white girl?
You refuse to give me hints. Okay, you gave me the genre, but you got the song.
So it's fine. I'll take my 1.31.
Okay. Who's it's the artist? Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. She didn't even cross my mind. I was thinking Fergie or whoever. Okay. But I wonder, where were you when I was at my worst, down on my knees?
Lisa, where do you know these songs from?
But Trace, Baba, did you not grow up watching Trace?
But I wonder, where were you?
When I was at my worst, down on my knees.
But no, who was at their worst, down on their list? Who's this person? But I wonder, where were you? I'm trying to guess. Yeah, please. I'm trying to guess.
Okay.
Down on my knees. I'm just going to guess lies. Was it Adele? No. I'm just trying to...
No.
Oh my God. Who is it? Who? What's the song?
Maps by Maroon 5.
I don't know
it. But I wonder, where were you when I was at my worst, down on my knees.
Oh, na 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 na. I don't know songs.
All I wanted you to came back to me.
This game was a setup.
Your turn.
Okay. No clouds in my stones. Let it rain. I hydroplane in the bank.
What?
Coming down like Dow Jones.
What?
When the clouds come, we gone.
I never mind. Ivali Fana.
Vala.
Ivali, Ivali, Ivali. Just tell me who it is.
Under my umbrella.
What?
Ella. Ella. Na, 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 na.
So na, you chose the worst part of the song.
It's the first part of the song. Nah. All these songs is literally the first part of the song.
Lapo, nobody knows the verses. Okay. Need another one.
Why are you trying to be hard? Don't be hard on me.
No, I don't know this one. That's why.
Okay, okay.
Give me a second. Give me something I know, man. No, I don't know this one either.
Damn, girl. Don't know what
you said. I don't want to give you things I don't know.
Fair. Because I probably won't know them.
Too high, can't come down. Losing my head. Spinning round and round. Do you feel me now?
Too high, can't come down.
Yeah, just making
losing my
up.
Head. Is it Rihanna?
No. It's a white lady. I'll give you a hint.
It's a white lady who's too high. Who's high? Ebelungwini. Who's the high white lady? That she can't come down.
Britney Spears.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the song?
Toxic.
I don't know it.
Me neither. So, I just wanted to move on.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, here you go. I look and stare so deep in your eyes. I touch on you more and more every time.
I'm touching you more and more every time. Got me looking so crazy. Crazy love of Beyonce.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I've won.
Because, like, you see,
do you want to end the game?
Took songs I knew. And songs that I knew she would know. She literally even gave me a song she didn't even know.
Okay.
So, to be fair,
okay. This no, game one was more, not one fair. More, one more. Your heart is hard to carry after dark.
Yeah. Your heart is hard to carry after dark. Dark. Come on.
Well, I'll give you another line.
Yes.
You're to blame for what we could have been, because look at what we are.
Hey. Adele?
Why you keep defaulting to Adele, dude?
You're to blame. We could have been. Oh, what we could have been. Come on, who is, what's the song?
It's Drake, Teenage Fever.
Please sing it.
Your heart is hard to carry after dark. You're to blame for what we could have been, because look at what we are.
Okay, fine.
Your friends are scared to tell you went too far. It's okay. It's funny how it's always been all about you from the start. I met someone new last night and we kissed.
You see, why did you give me that part of the song? I met someone new. Why did you give me that part of the song?
You also gave me the beginning of Umbrella. What, what?
Okay, I'm giving you my last one. Okay. You started. Let me finish.
Okay.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean?
I am the one. And the dance on the floor and around.
Billie Jean by Michael Jackson.
Billie Jean, yeah.
Not my lover.
You can't do any dance moves.
I am the one. The king is not my son. And that ends our game. I win by 7-1. What a defeat. I think I got my lick back for the last time we played a game and she caught me in the morning with words like breed.
Goddamn. Normal so English.
I got my lick back.
Normal English.
Mm-mm. Who wakes up in the morning and thinks of breed?
Me.
Like, well, the only thing in my mind was what? Doggy style. Mm.
Deep. At least we went to gracious
it's
daughters.
The way you describe
Rara cleanser. We needed a cleanser.
It's the way you describe, like, what do dogs do when they're on top of each other? Like,
no, that's not what I say. Thank you, Lisa.
Whatever.
That's not what I say.
What it over.
Okay, guys,
a long topic. I need to, what is it called? Yo, I need to plateau now because I'm like
going into deep conversations now.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Sanibona, guys. So today's long topic is the impact of wealth on one's moral compass.
Wow. quite a hefty topic, I think. I think so because as the conversation goes on, I'm going to point out like that even in our own lives, the accumulation of just a little bit of money sort of
switches up your moral compass. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think wealth does anything to your moral compass. I feel like
what that's so different from me, hey?
Like I generally feel like you were that way and you were just too broke to act that way.
People do say money is an amplifier.
It just shows. It just puts light to what was already there.
Yeah.
So if you're already a prideful person, you just couldn't back up your pride. But now you have something to back it up on. And that's why your pride is showing. If you're not humble, you were not humble, Nji. Yeah. You were just broke. Like, you were just broke.
We have such different perspectives on this
thingy.
On this, because I do think that wealth are negative most times, especially in the world that we live in today, negatively impacts your moral compass, right? Because amongst the wealthy, there is a system, right? And that system sort of creates a psychological distance between you and those who suffer or those who you think are beneath you, right? Mm. And if you create a psychological distance, obviously it's going to mar your morality. It's going to misshape your morality, right? Or it's going to make you morally disengaged, I think. And the reason why I say that most wealthy people that especially I've come in contact with are psychologically disengaged is because I'm going to mention two factors, even though there are so many more. Wealth makes you influential, right? And not only influential in your world, but in the world, you'll find that a wealthy person's perspective is prioritized over that of the average Joe. So a wealthy person, we normally take them at their word. Mm-hmm. There was this guy who said the way to build wealth, because he's wealthy, says the way to build wealth is via debt. They took him at his word because he has the money to show for it. And so even in many other discourses, the word of a wealthy man is taken over that of the average Joe most times. By virtue of him being wealthy, they garner more respect because of their wealth. They garner more notoriety, more reliability because they are wealthy. Not because of who they are, but just because of their social standing. That's the kind of influence that I'm talking about, right? And wealth also, the second factor is that wealth allows you to get away with things. It gives you an amount of power that the average Joe doesn't have. Mm-hmm. You'll find that wealthy people can buy their way out of a sexual assault suit as opposed to the average person. And so when you are able to buy yourself out of this suit and that suit, you become desensitized to the effect of your actions on other people. That causes a moral disengagement
because you don't have accountable. You don't have consequence.
Exactly. There is no consequence, right? And you're sort of detached from the person that you are hurting. Even back to the influence point, your influence, wealthy people employ other people, right? And so you sort of, there builds an ability to hold somebody's life in the palm of your hand. You can fire and hire as you please. You can dish out warnings as you please. You can use this person to your benefit or for the improvement of the company or whatever the case may be. But the ability to affect the livelihood of other people also causes a moral disengagement and a psychological distance between the people that you lead or the people that look up to you or the people that you influence. And the example that I wanted to make was via that chat that we had about the girlfriend allowance, right? And I think I'm going to hammer it because I don't think it reached the right audience, or I don't think that it had as much reach as I wanted it to. The thing about a girlfriend allowance, and when I say most wealthy men are morally disengaged, I'm mentioning those factors as a result of those factors, right? Because they have access to all these things and all these people and all these places. A woman who says that the time you spend with her or her interest in you is contingent on you giving her money to the wealthy who's also morally disengaged or psychologically distanced from other people, they sort of register that as, oh, I have to pay for her time the same way that I have to pay for this club membership, for the same way I have to pay for this car, this TV, this food. And so they are unable, or let's say the person...
They won't be able to separate.
Yes, they won't be able to separate the person and the thing.
Mm.
They now become
one.
One, mutually inclusive, because I'm paying for you just as I'm paying for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest lie that women who... demand, I'm saying demand, because there are some men who just give out of love, they're generous.
Mm-hmm.
But the women who demand money for their time, the biggest lie they tell each other is that, oh, it's because I know my worth. Excuse me?
You have a price.
You're worth money.
You have a price. You there's a price we can buy from you.
Do you not consider that that is the thought process of a human trafficker? That you can buy people.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Are you not worth consideration? Are you not worth love and affection and time? And being heard and being seen.
No, you know? It's not that you reduce yourself to a thing. Exactly. So then they will treat you like a thing.
Exactly. And that culture in our society, that whole... I'm just making one example. There are other dynamics like an employer-employee relationship that also shows a moral disengagement of the wealthy. But that dynamic for me is an example of how wealthy people can often be morally disengaged.
You see, I hear all the points you just mentioned. Yeah. Like the influence, the... You mentioned influence and
as the ability to get away with things.
Yes, yes. So the influence and the ability to get away with things. And I still stand on my point, and this is why, right?
Okay.
So, for instance, when you were talking about the influence, right? That is something we give them. It okay. is not their fault. You cannot blame a wealthy person for being influential when you are the one who gives them the influence, right? So that is a power that they are given.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily something that makes them morally disengaged or a bad person, because they cannot help the fact that they get it because you give it to them. Like, there's no ways the bank is gonna offer me a better loan compared to you because I already have money.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say no because it was not fair on you that I was able to get the loan. That has nothing to do with my moral compass. It has everything to do with the banks.
Okay.
So I feel like that is a thing. Yes, it could be an amplifier for someone's character, which is already flawed.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that, it amplifies. Like, I'm a cocky person, but then whatever I say, people will take because I'm influential.
Okay.
It will just amplify the already flawed character, but it doesn't necessarily create the flawed character because it's outside themselves.
Okay.
And then even people who you're saying buying themselves out of situations, that is also... a societal problem. It is not their fault. If I could buy myself out of a ticket, I would buy myself out of a ticket. Doesn't mean I'm morally disengaged. It's just that you gave me the opportunity to buy myself out of a ticket, and I'm not gonna buy myself out of a ticket.
Can I present a really contrasting view? Because I said this to somebody earlier on this week, and when I said it clicked. You don't get rewarded for the bad that you don't do.
Yes.
Right? You get punished for the bad that you do.
Yes.
And so your ability to buy a ticket is also, the weight of responsibility is also on you.
It is.
Right? You may see it as, oh, no, I'm paying my way past a DUI.
Yes.
Right? That is evidence of a moral disengagement.
Yes, right? Because why are you driving while you're drunk?
Exactly.
Yes, I'm not taking away from those aspects. It's like someone, for instance, who rapes. Right. Mm-hmm. And they are able to buy themselves out of the sexual lawsuit and everything like that. The wealth enabled it. It didn't create the person to be like that. Enabled the person to be like it just amplified. I see wealth as an amplifier of people with already bad character, because it goes to the same that there are people who are wealthy but will not go and rape people knowing that they can get away with it. They will not drunk and drive knowing that they can get away with it. Is because your character is already flawed, and that just amplifies. That's why there's people who you knew the person, they were humble, they were good, they were the moment they got money, oh, nigga switched up. No, he didn't switch up. Who he really was just showed. It's just that he didn't have the money.
That's a buyout. I think that's such a buyout, because then...
Because like it's also like, yeah, like I think, yes, people who are wealthy are more innate to be morally disengaged. But it doesn't mean that wealth equals moral disengagement. They're just more innate to be like that because of how society is structured. You know, like, think of it, like, I wanted to make a simple example. Like, even in a poor community, we don't have to even talk about, like, immense wealth. In a poor community, there's always going to be someone who's more well off than the other. Mm-hmm. And in those communities, there are those people who are like that, and they think that they're better than the other people. Mm-hmm. Yes, we all stay in sheikhs, but because my sheik is a double story, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go in Tomazel and all the neighbors and better. That's just who they are. Now, because of they cannot act like that in front of you who stays in a normal house, when you see them, you'll be like, it's just a normal person. Oh my God, they're so humble. They just didn't have the money. The moment they enter that gated community, you will see her now bragging about now, like, oh my God, my things and everything like that. Like, even with the little, your character is still the same. Even with the little that you have, your character is honestly still the same.
I think, again, I do think that's a buyout, because that's to say that somebody's character is set in stone the moment that they are born.
No, it's not set in stone. It's just that your experiences, and like, we are sponges as human beings, mm-hmm. right? Our experiences, who we are around, how we think, it shapes our character, mm-hmm. the innermost being, our moral compass.
Exactly. So do you not think that wealth is an experience?
It is an experience. And I do say that people who are wealthy are more likely to be morally disengaged. I did say that they are more likely to be morally disengaged because of that the things that come with that experience, but it doesn't mean that they're morally disengaged. It doesn't mean that just because you're wealthy, boom,
yeah, of course not,
you morally disengaged. Yeah. You know, it's just that it's not I also don't blame them for being morally disengaged. I honestly blame society, because we give them that power. The moment you give the person the power, mm-hmm. why are they able to buy themselves out of a parking ticket? Why is that an option? You gave them that power. Why is it an option that they're able to buy themselves out of a rape charge? And you gave them that power. Why does you being wealthy equal you being intelligent? You gave them that power. And now you're angry that they're using it? They're going to use it because they were given. So they don't realize how their use of it is negative. For instance, I have a friend who's wealthy, but I'm not friends with him on a close personal basis, mm-hmm. because of what he's used to getting out of, like what he's used to getting out of, and how his behavior, the way he's, people accept a certain behavior from him because they know that, oh, he's gonna buy us bottles, he's wealthy, he'll give you a job opportunity. So people would literally accept a certain behavior from him, you know? And because of that, he will act that way. Because we accept that behavior of him. But then when you don't accept that behavior, he does not act like that with me. Because I don't accept that behavior. You cannot buy yourself character with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't accept that behavior. Mm-hmm. So it's a thing of like, yes, well, like, yes, I don't think it's the wealth that makes someone immoral. Mm-hmm. I think it's society's reaction to people that are wealthy that allows room for immorality in a sense.
All right. Ooh, I have so many qualms about the points that you're making, right? First, like I said, you don't get rewarded for the bad that you don't do.
Yes.
Right? And that's the thought process of every human being is that congratulate me for the bad that I didn't do, because you don't know what I could have done.
Yes,
right. And to say that that is a thought process that we shouldn't consider when we talk about wealthy people is unfair, because they are people.
Yes,
you know. So when an opportunity is presented for you to escape tragedy, to escape, let me say, consequence, everybody is going to take it.
Yes,
right. Or let me say, everybody considers taking it. Yes. Let me say that instead.
Everybody considers taking it. You murder someone, there's an opportunity for you not to go to jail. Are you going to take yourself to jail?
Yes. I'm morally engaged.
Oh. Must be nice.
Do you see what I'm talking about? She's proving my point on my behalf that your ability to buy yourself out of this thing is what's causing you to be morally disengaged, and you wouldn't be able to buy yourself out of the thing if you didn't have wealth and influence and power.
Yes.
Exactly. But then, so the fact that you have the resources to escape the consequences of your actions, it's not the resource that's the problem. It's not society that's the problem. It's your thought process that's the problem. We can't say that society... Oh, sure. Morality and the moral compass and psychological engagement or whatever is... Or psychological distance is a social construct.
Mm-hmm.
We define what is immoral.
Yes, and what's moral. We spoke about
in the last episode, right? But to say that the allowances that we give wealthy people are allowances that we should be blamed for is
completely incorrect. You gave it to them.
Bro, okay. Let me give you a real life example. A wealthy man enters a township and sees a beautiful girl in the township, right? Again, this wealthy man is more likely to be morally disengaged.
Yes.
And so he develops a relationship. Let me say she's underage and she's pretty.
Yes.
Right? And because in his regular life, he has access to everything that he wants.
Yes.
She is not off limits.
To him.
To him at all. She comes from a disadvantaged background. And so she makes allowances for this guy because he has money. We see this dynamic all the time here in South Africa. He buys her the weave. Oh, I have to be quiet now.
No, don't worry.
He buys her the weave. Or he drives her to school in his fancy car, whatever. And this is allowing him to behave in the manner that he is, which is a pedophilia, to be quite honest, right? Who do we blame?
Aibo, there's three people you blame in that situation. Three people. The wealthy man, who's a pedophile. The girl and society.
Can't blame the girl.
I honestly blame all three people.
Can't blame the township.
I blame the girl, the society, and the wealthy man. This is why I'm putting it like that, right?
Okay.
Because everybody here had a decision, and they made a decision. And the decision came to a circumstance that is not a good one. But three people made decisions that led to that same end point. It's just that the place in which the decision is made is not the same. Like the reasoning of... all those decisions aren't the same, but the decisions led to the same direction. So this is why I say I blame all three, because everybody had a decision and they took it that led to that direction. The wealthy man made the decision to utilize the power he's given and the freedom he's given from society to be able to be with that girl. He made that decision to here is the stolen phone. He made the decision to take the phone. Right?
Exactly. It was given to him. Because somebody left the phone there, but because he wanted the phone anyway.
Yes, that's why he's wrong. So he's wrong for that decision. I'm not blaming him. He's wrong. I'm not saying he's not wrong. That's what I'm saying. That decision is wrong. That's why I blame him as well. Then there's the person who stole the phone and gave it to the wealthy man.
Mm-hmm.
They're also wrong. Meaning society that gave this man the tool to act in the manner in which he acted. They are also wrong. If a community ostracizes people who are pedophiles, stones people who are pedophiles, there will be less pedophiles. Because the community, if the whole country, if someone was a pedophile, if someone was found out to be a pedophile, from government level to the person who picks up papers on the street, if everybody looked at that man sideways and said, hell no, I'm not going to associate myself with you, that man would never be a pedophile. Because there's consequence. And who gives consequence? The other person. If his employer said, I'm not going to give you a job. The government is, I'm going to arrest you. The community is like, we'll stone him. Trust me, there's no pedophile. So you gave him the tool. So you are also wrong for giving him the tool. As I said, the community is wrong. And now here comes the girl, depending on her age, right? Here it's age, it's very age dependent, because the way we think when we're younger is not really 100%, right? So it's very age dependent. But for instance, if she's 17, let's put a 16, 17. At 16, 17, you may not make the best of decisions, okay, but you still have an idea of what's right and wrong.
Okay.
And this idea of right and wrong is instilled in you from, like, that's why when you drank, you hid from your parents. You knew it was wrong.
Okay.
But you still did it anyways, right? So then it's a thing of, like, her making the choice to be in a relationship with this man.
Okay.
She also knew it was wrong. That's why I say three people are to blame. The man who took advantage of the young girl who accepted this advantage, and society which gave him the tool to do it.
Okay. First, I think there's a difference between to blame and has a responsibility.
Yes. Okay, maybe my terminology. Yes. So, like, everyone has responsibility. Yes. The man had the responsibility not to act in that way.
Yes.
Society has responsibility to not accept people who act in that way.
Yes.
And that young girl has a responsibility to love herself. But honestly, I feel like that young girl would have loved herself enough to not put herself in that situation if society she was raised in gave her that mentality.
I think you make extremely valid points, right, about the responsibility that each party has to take in, you know, that breakdown,
yes,
right, or that gross inhumane behavior
situation. Yes,
exactly. However, I think it's also important to note the importance of money itself.
Yes,
right, we know more than anybody that money is spiritual, right? Exactly. So and whether you attract or what is it called, attract or repel, whether you attract or repel money is a spiritual concept. Right. And the fact that this person has the same money that everybody is gunning for, everybody's lives improve or deteriorates based on their access to money,
mm-hmm,
or their possession of that money. Money itself is at the center of this relationship altogether. And who has it? That man has it. So I think that's where financial abuse also comes in, because your access to the money gives you power over everybody. Whether it's power that they have given you or power that you exert, it's power that exists as it is by virtue of having money, right? That's why I said wealthy people are more likely to be morally disengaged, because inevitably, by virtue of having this amount of money, they have the power
to just do whatever they want.
Do whatever they want, yes, right? And again, responsibility and blame. We hold everybody responsible,
yes,
but we blame the person who has the power tool, because your subordinates don't have a choice. The ability to exact that power on people who don't have that thing is a choice that they didn't make. They didn't choose to live in the slum. If people had a choice to live where they wanted, it would not be the slum. They didn't choose to be disadvantaged. They didn't choose this, their economic standing, right? Yet this wealthy person has a choice every single day of their lives. We cannot blame people who don't have choices for submitting to people who do. We blame the person who has the choice by virtue of having the power of money, right? And that's why I'm saying, if I was a millionaire and I committed a murder, I lost my mind, I lost my temper, and I happened to just shoot this guy in the head. And the prosecutor says, look, you can plead guilty, get off with probation or community service or whatever the case may be. A morally engaged human being,
let's say, hey, give me my
is
tire,
going to say, I must take responsibility. I must face the consequences of my actions. I must amend or make amends to the family of the person who I've murdered. I'm going to do my time. That's a morally engaged person. But that is also a rarity when you're wealthy, because like I said in the beginning, wealth
be honest with yourself. Be honest. I was about to ask you a question in that scenario. Be very honest about the society and the world we live in. From the poor man on the street to the wealthy man, it's not just only the wealthy man who would take that decision. Majority of
Men won't take that decision.
That's what I'm saying. Majority of poor people won't take that decision. Majority of middle class people won't take that decision. If you think about it,
but they wouldn't be. They wouldn't be offered that decision.
The thing is, you see, whose fault is it that I was offered the decision?
Oh my gosh!
Like, you're literally bringing it back to my point. It's a thing of like, my point is like the premise and the core of my point is that it is the character, it's the character of the person, but not the tool.
I'm saying thingy, bad company corrupts.
Yes, I 100% know that, but it's the character of the person. How many, bruh, like you acting like poor people don't commit crimes and they
do.
Like you acting like the man on the street who's homeless doesn't go and rape a girl. He does, because it's a thing of like, it's his character. It has nothing to do with your wealth. It has everything to do with your character. Everything to do with your character. Like even the poor person, if they were offered that decision, they would take that decision. The middle class person, if they're offered that decision, they would take that decision. The rich man who's offered that decision takes the decision. It is not their fault, the fact that you gave the decision.
I'm not disagreeing with people being morally disengaged in Jay.
In Jay, yes.
I'm saying that wealth often creates and amplifies moral disengagement.
Yes, I feel like wealth amplifies it. I don't think it creates it.
I think it creates it. Because wealthy people live in a system. They live in a system of their own.
Yes, right? Which is not...
and
which is a different system from our system and a different system from people exactly. who aren't like well-off system. Yes.
Yes.
But then in those systems, in each and every one of those systems, 80% of people don't function with moral engagement. Exactly.
So I can enter as morally intact as I am. I can make a good billion today and enter the realm of the elite. And like you said, 80% of the elite, they
no, even 80% of middle class.
Let me finish my damn point.
Kai is not listening to me, guys.
I'm morally engaged right now.
So you think you won't morally be morally intact, let me say. You won't be morally engaged when you have money.
You see, you don't know what I'm going to say. You just reply.
Okay, I'm asking. It's a question.
You wouldn't ask this question if you let me win.
Okay, finish my sentence.
Thank you. Right. Morally engaged, Kaya. Psychologically intact with the people in her life.
Yes.
Makes a billion. Now she enters the realm of the elite. Yes. You yourself said 80% of the elite, morally disengaged.
That's not what I said.
You said that, bro.
I said 80% verbatim. Play this back. I said 80% of everyone in each society, in the poor communities, the middle class, and the elite. 80% of people are morally... No. You're making it specific to the elite.
I'm saying it specific to the elite because that's the system I'm talking about. I'm not 80%
of the world.
We're not talking about the other systems in this episode. We talk about poverty and moral disengagement in the next one.
If middle class, you were not morally disengaged, then there's already 80% people disengaged. When you go to the elite, you won't suddenly become disengaged. Still the same 80%.
Straw man in my argument, bro. Because my zeroing in, my focus on the wealthy is not putting the middle class and the poor in the back burner. We're not discussing them today, okay,
fine.
Nigga.
Fine.
You can discuss them next week.
It's okay.
The middle class and the immoral.
It's okay. It's okay.
That's why I'm not talking about them. They're not the point today. Okay.
But then I'm just saying they're the point. In a sense of everybody's morally disengaged. Majority.
Finish my statement, guys.
Finish.
I think.
You.
Yeah. Our time is well spent. Maybe there's going to be a part two
of morally disengaged people.
Goodness gracious.
No shame. Finish your statement. I'm sorry.
I've already given up.
Finish your statement.
You know me very well, Nyangala. I even forgot what I was about to say, to be honest with you.
The back and forth
just distracted me.
All I'm saying is money don't change people. It just shows them who they are.
Money changes people.
That's the end.
Guys, let us know who you agree with. Do you agree with Mpo? Do you agree with Kaya?
Comment down below.
You don't agree with any of us and you have your own viewpoint. You're afraid to tell us, please. Thank you. What accent was that? If you don't agree with either of us and you have a different perspective to offer, feel free to share it in the comment section below. For our members, you guys know what to do. You'll see us over that on that side. Yeah, there are two options. There's a support option that is not memberships, guys. That's about 19 Rand. 18, 19 Rand. That's just to say, you guys are doing a great job. Keep going. So thank you. Super thanks. I think it's called super thanks. And then the other option, the $149.99 option, is the memberships option, where you guys will see the extra 30 minutes of our conversation on this channel. You guys know the cues?
like, comment, share, subscribe. And today, please put money emoji. I don't know. Put the money bag emoji for the wealth. For the wealth. Thank you.
Mwah. See you guys next week, Monday, 3 p.m. Bye.